Get in on the discussion. 617-779-0985. The Sports Hub Hockey Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. Welcome in to another edition of the Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston here in the Town Fair Tire Studios. Most of the gang up in Montreal. We will be checking in with Bob Beers coming up in about 15, 20 minutes. We'll talk with Joe Haggerty at 9:35. We will talk with Judd Surratt coming up at 10 o'clock this morning as well. But joining us in studio today for the full 2 hours is the one and only Billy Jaffe, fresh off travels, working
fresh from the beautiful New Jersey, Secaucus, New Jersey.
Secaucus, New Jersey.
Yes.
It's scenic this time of year.
Quite honestly, this morning it was sunny there, which is kind of an oxymoron, sunny in New Jersey. And caught a 6:50 flight back home, got home, ready.
Appreciate you racing home for us today.
Appreciate you. Look, beyond with 2 hours of this, you know, this is 2 hours of purely, relatively speaking, unfiltered, unadulterated hockey Bruins talk.
Right.
How could it not be awesome?
Well, I mean, look, the Bruins are about to hit the halfway point of the season tonight, right?
Literally.
It's number 41.
Yep.
They will play 5 games in the next 8 nights, mm-hmm. 3 of them against Montreal. This is where, you know, kind of looked at this point. Coming out of the bye week, you got the All-Star break coming up in a couple of weeks mm-hmm. as well. But this is where it really starts to pick up, and you start to catch up with some of the other teams in the league as far as games played. The Bruins have all season long been, you know, mm-hmm. at the bottom of the list in games played. So
it's scary.
It is a little scary. I mean, especially with as young a team as they are. You know, that's the one concern I've got with this team is, are they going to be able to make it through the second half of the schedule when it's a lot rougher, when there's very few days off built in there?
Like 2 days of 2 day break? That's two times?
The month of March is, the schedule is insane. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the one concern I've got as they've gotten to this point, and we know what they've gone through here over the first half of the season, is this sustainable? I feel like the talent is there on this team, but it kind of sets up that there may be a dip here in the second half of the season.
There's going to be. There's just going to be a dip. What does a dip mean? Is 500 a dip? It is.
Sure.
But if you said, well, if we had a short spell, if we had a 10-game stretch where the team ends up going 5-5 or, you know, whatever, they get 10 points out of a possible 20, however you Ginsu knife it up, the reality is you'd say, well, if they've played 600 hockey the rest of the way or 625 win percentage, which they're significantly above right now, by the way, but, you know, if they play 600, 625, and they happen to have a 10-game spell where they're 500, okay, that's hockey. That's the NHL.
Sure. That's why you play 82 games.
That's why you play, right. Now, you don't want to see, you know, 2-8 in a 10-game stretch. Then you have big cause for concern. But a 5-5, a 4-6 even isn't ideal, but you can get through it. We're seeing every team. The only teams that we haven't seen go through significant dry spells are Tampa, and they've got some issues coming up. I know we'll talk about Victor Hedman's injury later. Even Vegas. I mean, Vegas hasn't gone through a cataclysmic losing streak, which is just amazing that they haven't yet. But otherwise, every team has.
Well, as we kind of look at the broad view, mm-hmm. and we're going to talk a lot about, you know, today about what we've seen over the first 40 games and the direction that the organization is headed in, the direction this particular team is headed in. But as you look at particularly the Eastern Conference.
Yep.
Where do you put them in the Eastern Conference right now? If let's say, you know, halfway point in the season, let's say it's a lockout shortened season, playoffs are starting today. Do you put them among the elite teams in the Eastern Conference?
I do. I put Tampa at the top without question.
I don't think anybody would argue that.
Now, again, if we're calling this a lockout shortened season and we're saying Victor Hedman is healthy, let's play that hypothetical. I say Tampa's the best, and I don't know if it's close in a 7-game series. Doesn't mean the Bruins wouldn't win a game or two. I just don't know if it would be a 7-gamer. They're close, though, in the sense, you know, add a piece here or there, maybe. Yeah, then, especially with Tuukka playing as well as he is take away the last game. And hopefully we don't have to really talk about that again. But they're close. The Bruins, to me, they're better than any team in the Atlantic except Tampa, Toronto included. Toronto's depth and their defense is suspect, very suspect. They're fun. It would be a great fun series, but I think with the Bruins, with the way they play nice now stylistically, are better. Going to the Metropolitan, well, you know, you can sit here and say that they're. I mean, we saw them play with Columbus. We saw them handle New Jersey well. That we saw them play with Pittsburgh. I think they can. Washington is the team for obvious reasons that you say, you know.
And for some reason, can't get over the hump against that team.
I was with Kenny
Danico
last night, and Kenny was like, you know, the Devils can't beat this team, and they're no good, you know, but yet they can beat this team. You know, every team has it. Every team has their kryptonite, and that's what it is. But I put him in the top three in the East. I would. Right now, I would.
I mean, it amazes me that, look, if you go back to the beginning of the season, I think most people looked at this team and said, you know, they can be a playoff team.
I thought they'd be a playoff.
They can be a playoff team. They're good enough to get in.
For the experience.
Right.
Just like last year, meaning, you know, they get in.
It is so far ahead of where I thought they'd be at this point.
I said all along, I thought this team's a playoff team this year. Meant it, said it, and I've probably said this 100 times on this show. We had a meeting at, you know, preseason preview type meeting at Nesson about planning for shows, et cetera. And Andy Brickley and I were asked what we thought about but we both agreed, playoff team. Like playoff, not making the playoffs, I actually said would be a disappointment. Now, don't get me wrong, I had a big lump in the throat for a while early on, but you had to keep telling yourself this isn't their team. Are they better than what I thought? Absolutely. Did I think they'd be in the playoffs? Yeah, I thought they would. But I thought they were built for next year. No question. I thought they were built for next year. The problem, in a good way, becomes right now, RJ, is you say, what a year we're getting from, in no particular order, Marchand. What a year we're getting from Bergeron. What a year we're getting. We're getting a good year from Pastrnak. I still think he's got oodles or eons of levels to go, and he will. He wants to. But what a year you're getting from Chara, you know? And now that Tuca's gotten himself straightened out, what 6 weeks you're getting from him. And you're like, do you take a chance and kind of go for it now?
Well,
that's the question.
You know, and that kind of speaks to, again, the overall direction of the organization, which they have, over the last few years, kind of, in my eyes, done the right thing, which is try to avoid those decisions.
Yeah.
Try to avoid, hey, we're going to overextend ourselves and try to, you know, to go for it here.
Right. Not the Lee Stempniak trade where you gave up, or a Lyles where you gave up, you know, people are like, oh, they gave up these picks. Well, you got to give up something to get something. But not one of these, we're going to give up a first rounder and a prospect or whatever. You know, that's what you're saying. That type of deal. I agree with you. The end of the Chiarelli regime or leadership, got to give him credit. He was there for 04. That draft has proved incredibly beneficial for this team. Incredibly. But then 15 and 16, led by Donnie that time, it's done real well.
But that, you know, the temptation has been there at times that, you know, there was maybe a guy that you know, that everybody was clamoring for. And you say, okay, let's, you know, maybe we could part with, you know, one of those picks. And they didn't.
The temptation is always there.
Of course it is.
You know,
but now the temptation gets bigger because now you say, you know, as you said to start off, you start looking at, you know, at what the East looks like and say, you know, if we're one of the top three teams in the East, you know, maybe there is somebody out there who can help us take a run at Tampa Bay and start thinking about a really deep run here.
Right. See, we're looking at it right now. What's today's date? January 13th. And the Bruins are looking at it every day, too. But they don't really have to get tempted probably for another 3-4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're going to have 7 games, including tonight's, up until the All-Star break. Then you get the 4-day break there for the All-Star break. Then finally, the whole NHL really revs up for the last 2 months of the season. And the Bruins will still have time between All-Star break and then what is it, 26th, that Monday, when the NHL trade deadline is. And I always like it personally when teams make the deal a week or two before. I don't like waiting until the last, but whatever. But Donnie and his staff can look at it and they say, where are we now, given all the games that we've played? I mean, you know, where do we see weakness with our youngsters? Do we see some of our vets falling off, et cetera? You know, and then they can. It's not that they haven't been able to address their team as well as they, as much as they'd like, but they haven't, because they finally got them all back and they're seeing how good they are together. But they haven't had the extreme conditions that we're going to see in the next month, and I think that gives them a better idea to say, do we or don't we? You know. You see a plate full of donuts, and you know you shouldn't eat them, but every once in a while you'll nibble at one, and sometimes you take one, or like me, two, and you know what I mean? Like, and then you regret it. So you want, if Donnie's looking at a plate full of donuts, you know what I mean? I mean, sometimes you just got to treat yourself. Other times you just got to pull back. Wait a little bit, and then either dive in for the cream-filled ones or the jelly-filled ones, or just take a pass on them if they're not that good.
Did you not get breakfast on the way in?
I got a little bit of breakfast. But we need to keep getting sponsors on this show.
Yeah.
I got a little. I ran over and got the kids, the Junior Eagles. We had extra practice this morning.
Oh, okay.
Right down the street. So I brought them some munchkins, and myself, I cheated on two of them, but I could go for something.
Billy Jaffe is in studio with us for the full 2 hours today. We can get to your calls coming up later on at 617-779-0985.
We'll take egg sandwiches. We will.
Yeah. Billy wants a delivery service if there is one in the area. Bob Beers is going to join us from Montreal coming up. It's the Hockey Show here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the Hockey Show with you until 11 o'clock. Ryan Johnston, Billy Jaffe joining me in studio this week as the Bruins up in Montreal tonight. Take on the Habs, 7 o'clock face-off. You can hear it over on our sister station, Alt 92.9, tonight, as the Patriots take over the Sports Hub later today.
They obviously. Do. What time is the Pats game? Not pre.
8:15, I think, kickoff somewhere.
All right, so the Bruins game, actually, since it's Hockey Night in Canada, face-off is 7:15.
Right.
7:16, I think, technically. They give you a little more time for your big pregame show in Canada. You'll get us more pregame,
extra
too.
Extra long pregame show for you guys tonight.
Yes. Excellent. We start at 6, actually.
Wow.
But my point is, what a great, another one of those great sports nights that you only get in cities like Boston.
Yep. We get them around here a fair amount.
I say this so often.
Great.
I've lived in so many places, just because of what we do, and I'm telling you, I've lived in New York, Chicago. Chicago's a phenomenal sports town. It really is. You don't have these kind of nights, though. You don't, regularly.
Well, up in Montreal, we join Bob Beers now on the phone, and we know from hearing the commercials how much Bob Beers loves traveling to Montreal. So
now he does, yes.
How are we doing, Beersy?
He's a fan.
We're doing all right. Done with the bye week, ready to go. And we are getting a lot of snow up here right now, so hockey night.
Wow, okay.
You bring boots?
No, I made my walk to Tim Hortons this morning, Billy, but I braved it in the dress shoes. So.
Oh!
There's a lot of snow coming down right now. It got cold in a hurry.
Bob, we obviously, you know, you go back to last weekend, and the Bruins, they win one, they lose the Pittsburgh game in overtime, but they score 5 goals in that game. 30 goals over the last 6 games for this team, and they've gone 4-0-2 in that stretch. The bye week coming when it did, how do you think that's going to impact this team and the momentum that they were carrying?
Hard to tell, right? I mean, nobody knows exactly how teams are going to react and come out of the bye weeks. And last year, you know, we talked a lot about it during the season, where teams would come out of the bye week and that first game that they played, you know, was just an ugly game, and the losses started to mount up for some of those teams that came out of the bye week. For the Bruins, it was actually completely opposite. They needed wins when they came out of the bye week, and we were heading out west to San Jose, and they got wins. They had a very successful trip out there. So they were the exception rather than the rule last season. You know, this season they're in a different position. Although there's still a long way to go, they're pretty comfortable at this point, unless something changes for them. And, you know, you don't want that comfort level to set in. You don't want that complacency to set in. I don't think it does with this team, just in the sense that they've got, you know, enough guys who have been around, enough guys that leadership core has been through a lot. And, you know, you're counting on them to kind of guide some of these younger guys through, you know, kind of foreign territory for some of the younger players and what they're experiencing right now. 5 days off, and all of a sudden you got to rev it back up again. And then the big difference this year, of course, is that you're playing against a team in Montreal that also is coming off their bye week, so they tried to even it out that way. Montreal, Boston should ramp you up, right? I mean, that's my hope, that trumps everything coming into today's game and moving forward here. You got three games against the Canadiens in 8 days. I know they're behind in the standings, but you don't want to let them get any life. The rivalry should be there. The Hockey Night in Canada part of it should be there. You know, it's a pretty exciting place up here and for a game. And it's just, I think that kind of, you know, kind of supersedes the bye week. You come back in, you better be ready to go.
Bobby, were the tans noticeable, first of all, on the plane? Did you notice many guys' tans?
There were a couple, yeah, but that's nothing too much. I think last year there was a couple big ones. I was really concerned about a couple of guys, but it didn't manifest itself. They played well.
Every year, we don't buys every year, but, you know, teams go down to Florida or California, there's always that one guy, especially follically challenged like me, who ends up, you know, remember Claude that one year? He was in Florida, and the guy, I think he fell asleep.
You fell asleep in Tampa or something like that. Yeah,
he said he went for a walk.
Okay, Bobby. You know, we see them on the ice. You and I, we get to work all the games, etc. But when you're behind the scenes, and that's where, you know, following the team like you do, and being a former player, I think you know this. Where there's a different, you get different insight into a team with subtle little things here and there. To me, this team kind of has that it factor. I'm not ready to anoint them a Stanley Cup favorite, but it feels different. With that said, from your perspective, does it feel different, you know, the way that the guys are carrying themselves, the confidence they have away from the ice that translates to stronger play on the ice?
Yeah, there's a little swagger there. I'd say that happens when you go on a run like they have. I mean, they've been pretty successful here over the last several weeks, and, you know, I think we, you know, noted, you know, going back to the middle of November when it really started to turn around for them. You know, they altered a little bit of what they did out on the ice. You know, they kind of middled around that 500 mark before that time, but some of that was injury. Some of that was just trying to get used to different surroundings and players and all that, and you put it all together. And once things really got going around the middle of November, it's been a great run for them. And, you know, that's something that they're hoping to continue, but the swagger or the confidence level is there for them. I think that's easier with a team that wins games. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when things start to go south for you, and every team has to kind of absorb it at some point of the season, where you don't get the puck luck or you don't get the goals, or you're hitting some posts and, you know, you're allowing some chances the other way, how quickly do you pull out of it? And then, you know, how much, you know, on a mental side of it, how much does that affect you? And that's where I really liked, you know, even the beginning of the season, you know, some people were, I'm not saying panicking, but, you know, some fans and whatever, you know, looking at it and saying, well, what is this team? Which direction are they going? What is it? But, you know, the patience kind of paid off with some of the injured guys getting back healthy. They're at that point right now. Hopefully they can stay that way. That's probably not the realistic side to look at it. But from a mental aspect, when you start to lose games, when you have to face adversity, that's when the truer test comes out and the truer character comes out. And as quickly as they can pull out of that, mm-hmm. And I think that kind of goes a long way of what you're looking at in the long run and what this team's capable of doing.
You talked earlier about the, you know, the leadership core of this team, and, you know, they've been through a lot together, and there's been some criticism over the years, some maybe earned, some not, about, you know, at times the leadership on this team has failed a little bit. Do you feel that has been different this year?
Well, I don't think, you know, that you got guys like Chara and Bergeron, they're quieter leaders. So I think that's an easy thing to kind of point at. I mean, when they had success and they were winning the Stanley Cup, I mean, Mark Recchi was the obvious guy when you looked at, you know, such a glue guy in the locker room and what he brought, you know, off the ice as well as on the ice. I think right now some of the younger guys are just learning from how hard the core guys work night in and night out, or even day in and day out when you look at practices. And that's, you know, on the ice, off the ice, with Chara, Bergeron, even Marchand's taken his, you know, to another level, mm-hmm. his you know, work ethic. Not that it was bad before, but it's just like he's kind of gone. You know, when you walk out after a game on the road and you see, you know, middle of the season, and you see, you know, Marchand doing a circuit, you know, on weights, you know, out by the locker room after a game, you know, and he's standing next to Chara doing that. I mean, that tells you a little bit about his work ethic and his intensity level, and, you know, he's not going to be complacent at all. He wants to get better and better every day. You know, and other guys are getting on the bus. So there's that right now, this season, where I'm watching it, and I think the leadership's real strong right now. But like I said, when you hit the lower points of your season, that's when you keep an eye on things and make sure that leadership continues to show.
Beersy, we've got, and by the way, I think broadcasters will be in on circuit soon, too, with the tight schedule coming. just to make sure you
those
guys.
Are the afternoons, Billy.
Yeah, well, that's a different kind of circuit.
Sometimes.
Yeah. with the, seven games before the next break, the All-Star break for the Boston Bruins right here, fair to assume, safe that the Tuukka Rask will get four, probably five of those games. I mean, we have a couple of back-to-backs, and how well, I mean, I know we've talked about it off-air, but I've been very impressed with the way that Bruce Cassidy and Bob Esenz have just handled the whole goaltender situation, really from start to finish, even from the beginning of the year to where they helped, you know, continue to get Anton Khudobin back on track, which was really the end of last season where it began, to where he is now, and then Tuukka getting himself straightened out.
Well, Billy, I mean, you know, you can try to push all the buttons you want, but if the players don't respond the way that they need to, right, that's the ultimate answer for it. You know, how Khudobin got challenged in the offseason to make sure he came in ready to play at the beginning of the season this year, as opposed, you know, to wait halfway through the year. Mm-hmm. And he did that, you know, to his credit. He came in ready to go, and he's had a very good start to this season. I think we all agree on that. And Tuukka Rask, you know, had played okay at times at the beginning. We said he's playing okay, but he's not coming up with that save. He's not coming, you know, he's not doing this. The save that he needed to make in a game that might change things around. He wasn't getting the run support or the goal support, you know, from the team offensively. But no question, things have changed since Bruce Cassidy put Anton Khudobin in for four games in a row. And so that was a big, you know, a step where, okay, how's Rask going to handle this? Well, I think we've all seen how Rask has handled it, and he didn't like the way he played the other game against Pittsburgh, but that was the exception rather than the rule, because he's played extremely well. So I think he's pushed the button. I think the coaching staff has pushed the buttons on a lot of guys this year the right way, and they've gotten the response that you want. So that it, you know, you give a lot of credit to the player for being able to respond to it when things don't go their way, but the coaching staff for calling them out or just, you know, being matter of fact that this has to be better and here's where you need to be better, and you know, they've gotten the good response from it.
Well, they get Montreal tonight, and you know, we kind of, you mentioned it earlier that, you know, that should get you going right off of the you know, coming out of the break, that it's Boston, Montreal. But as a guy who's played up there and a guy who's broadcast a lot of games up there, you know, somebody just texted in and said, you know, something about Montreal typical. We've all heard the quote from Peter Laviolette over the years in Montreal. How much do you think that building and those fans affect the game?
I honestly think it affects it. I mean, I've just seen it happen too many times. You know, I had conversations with people who had been up here, including Claude. You know, now he's on the other side of it again with Montreal. We haven't even talked about that, right? That aspect of it. But no, the people are aware of it. People up here might not want to admit it, but people are aware of it. But fans, I mean, they get up for any little thing that happens in there. You know, any little touch or any little guy, you know, guy going down for wearing a red jersey, and the whole building is just, you know, whistling and, you know, whatever. I mean, it just gives you that little, you know, if you're an opposing team, and it's hard for me, you know, you sit up there in the booth and, you know, you're getting upset, you're getting frustrated because this call doesn't go your way or that call doesn't go your way or this play doesn't go your way. But I think a lot of that is because of the atmosphere in the building. And it's a great atmosphere for a game. It's a lot of fun to be involved in games up here, you know, in different ways now as an announcer. But I get excited for these games a lot more than, you know, maybe some of the other games during a season. It kind of gets you going.
A lot of storylines, obviously. Claude Julien, a big one. He has made it clear, though, Bobby, that he's not going to talk about it right now. His team's been on break. You mentioned that, too. They're coming out. They've struggled mightily this year with play, performance, and health. Still no Shea Weber in the lineup.
They liked their last couple games, Billy. They really like the way they played the last couple games, and they're hoping to build on that. That break maybe not come for a good time at them.
Well, third and fourth line have been really good. Brendan Gallagher's been their best player up front. No question about it. Curious your thoughts. I mean, I look at storyline X's and O's in this game, Bob, as... So you got that third line, the Plekanec line, or Plekanec, however he's saying it right now, going probably against the Patrice Bergeron line. How much tactical advantage, if any, do you think Claude Julien has knowing this Boston Bruin team so well, despite the fact it's a different style than when he was there coaching the team?
Well, it gives him some advantage. It's interesting, like Plekanec, or however we're pronouncing it this year, he would normally try to shut down David Krejci. And Krejci's line, but I think you're probably right that he might go up against that Bergeron line here in this game. Can you take advantage of the defense without Shea Weber in the lineup? And that's been kind of picked apart a little bit this year. Their goal scoring has been picked apart this year. I think that there is a certain advantage for Claude, but I don't think it's, that much. I don't think there's many secrets. Let's put it that way. Just with all the video and how familiar we are with opponents right now. The Canadians and Bruins are so familiar with one another. I don't think there's a lot of secrets that are out there and how you're going to try to attack somebody or how you're going to try to, strategically put people on the ice against other people. It's just, you kind of know what the other coach is going to do, and you want your team to be better than the other team, and you make a couple adjustments along the way depending on what happens during the game. So I'm looking forward to it. I think, when we talk about atmosphere as well, Billy, one thing I wanted to mention was for the younger guys, this is the first time that they've been playing up here. Mm-hmm. So it is a little bit different, and that's up to maybe some of the older guys or the more experienced guys to try to make sure that they're ready and prepared for just, it is a little bit different. Let's just put it that way. I don't want to overstate it up here, but there's a sense of excitement when you're in this building and going, and people are getting loud and into the game, and they do against the Bruins, and there's a lot of Bruins fans up here as well. So it should make for a pretty entertaining night. You just want the younger guys to be able to kind of contain their emotions in this atmosphere.
Bob, we'll let you go. Appreciate the time this morning, and have fun on the call tonight.
Thanks, guys.
Use the tunnels now so your shoes don't get ruined. They've got underground tunnels there.
See ya.
Bob Beers joining us on the phone from Montreal.
You can walk underground there from...
A lot of the Canadian cities have that. It's a nice feature.
Right. You can
you can go from one side of the city to the other without getting
like
outside.
It's like the ultimate cornfield maze, although it's skyscrapers and, it's underground. But in Montreal, and they've got... Hortons and Starbucks and probably even Dunkin's, they've got them all over there, so you never go hungry. You can get anything you need underground, and you can walk from place to place. But there is something that is like walking outside in Boston that you want to be in that vibrant feel of a beautiful city. And I always say this, if you haven't been to Montreal, go up there, despite the fact that it is a nemesis, so to speak, of the Boston Bruins. It's a great city.
It is, and go to Winnipeg too.
I like Winnipeg.
You know, I never had a problem with Winnipeg either.
Winnipeg has got...
San Jose Sharks don't like Winnipeg.
Yeah, I know. That came out. I mean, Winnipeg is a different place, but ask Eddie Olczyk, who played there, said, maybe my favorite place to play. It's great. The mosquitoes are the size of helicopters. That's the only thing in
you
May.
Don't have to worry about that this time
in
of
May.
Year.
No, not...
All right, let's get Sports Hub headlines. Joe Haggerty is going to join us coming up. Billy Jaffe with me in studio until 11 o'clock here on The Hockey Show.
This is where Boston talks hockey. The Sports Hub Hockey Show on the home of the Bees. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston, Billy Jaffe with me for the full two this week. And before we get to Hags, I wanted to make mention again of the Pucks and Paddles event.
Oh, yeah.
Announced this week.
Great
Patrice
event.
Patrice Bergeron, 98.5 The Sports Hub, teaming up for the first ever Pucks and Paddles ping pong tournament. It's going to be at the Royale Boston from 4 to 7 p.m. on Thursday, February the 15th. This is replacing the Cuts for a Cause. Some of the guys got a little sensitive about shaving the heads, I think. So something that everybody can do. So you get a chance. You can. They're going to have bids open, so you can partner up with a member of the Bruins in the ping pong tournament. VIP tickets are on sale now, $200 a piece. General admission tickets as well for $50. You can get all the information at 98.5thesportshub.com, and the money benefits the Boston Bruins Foundation and a floating hospital for children at Tufts Medical Center. So
yeah, it's great. I was asked to participate, and I love ping pong, but I don't. I think I'm at the NHL Network those days.
Oh.
I'm finding out, but great event. Patrice continues to do, you know, lead by example so much. It's a lot of fun. You know, Dominic Moore, remember Don Moore, obviously?
Sure.
He has a big ping pong event over the summer. Smash Fest, he calls it, in Toronto for some cancer cures. He, his first wife died of, of cancer some years ago. Anyhow, this is a great event that he puts together. I know the players do love it. And ping pong is something that a lot of hockey players have played over the years. I don't see the Bruins having one in their room. I haven't noticed that.
They do have
Which one? Out at, in the garden or in the...
outside of Warrior, I heard they had a ping pong table.
Table. All right, yeah. Not at the garden though. They don't have. I didn't see one there.
They don't spend a lot of time at the garden
anymore. You're right. You're right. So no, guys love it. It's competitive. It's fun. And you got some great hand eye coordination. So it's an awesome. It'll be an awesome event. Good for the Bees.
And if you haven't
been
to one of these before, those VIP tickets. I mean, you get up close personal access. The guys will autograph anything you want. Take pictures.
Yep.
All that stuff. So you really get a chance to kind of meet these guys and see what. Good guys there. We all know hockey players are
good guys. Great good event guys. That between the Sports Hub and the Bruins and Patrice, all of them. Good for everybody. Big clap for all of them.
All right, let's welcome in Joe Haggerty now from NBC Sports Boston. He is up in Montreal enjoying the fine weather, as Bob Beers was telling us earlier this morning as well. Morning, Hags.
Well, what's happening, guys? Good morning. Yeah, it looks blizzard conditions, zero visibility. I can see it from my hotel room window. The snow is coming down in buckets, so... True Montreal weather, the tempest before the storm tonight for Claude Bull. Should be fun.
Any trouble crossing the border when they saw Hags coming up there?
You know what? There was no trouble, but I did pull a kind of a maneuver where I thought there was a shorter line towards the front, and there was a very long line of cars, and I may have cut through about a mile of cars in queue. Waiting to go through the customs to get a quicker shot through. So I was kind of a bad guy yesterday, but I had to get to practice on time, Billy. You know how that goes.
They're mostly Canadian people. They're very forgiving people up there.
Oh, yeah.
Not with Massachusetts license plates.
There was a nice carload full of girls with a Wisconsin license plate that were nice enough to allow me to go.
That's because they're Midwesterners.
There you go.
The Midwesterner right in there. Just wave to them, offer to buy them a Schlitz or a PBR, Pabst Blue. And are you kidding me? Wisconsin girls? Awesome.
That's it. Total Midwestern niceness. Just like the first time I went to Wrigley. To see a Cubs Cardinals game, and I was amazed at how much nicer those fans were to each other than Yankees Red Sox fans.
Got a tweet a few minutes ago from a guy who said the Bruins Canadians rivalry feels like it's waning, maybe because it's the first time they're playing and the season's half over. It is amazing that here it is, game 41, and look, we're going to see them three times in the next 8 days. So if you feel like the rivalry is waning, just wait. I have a feeling it's really about to pick up here. But it does feel odd that, you know, here you are halfway through the season, and it's the first chance you're getting to see the, you know, the Claude Julien Canadiens.
Yeah, strange quirk in the schedule, right, that they didn't play the Canadiens until now. They didn't play the Ottawa Senators for a long period of time, didn't play the Florida Panthers, really. Like, a bunch of their divisional rivals, they didn't play in the early portion of the season. But it adds on to the strangeness of the Canadiens in particular when, you know, they still had not played Montreal for the first time since Claude Julien got fired. It's almost a year since that happened now when they're going to be playing them for the first time. And I do expect the rivalry to really get jacked up in these three games they're going to play over the next week or so, because these are incredibly important games for the Canadiens as far as just keeping themselves alive and keeping any faint playoff hopes they have alive. If the Bruins really dominate them in these three games, they pretty much bury them, I think, for the season. And, you know, given that I'm sure Claude Julien's going to have, a lot of emotions going into his first game against his old team, given some of the guys that Montreal has on their roster, the Andrew Shaws and Nick Deloriers of the world, I would expect that, you know, things might kick up a little bit tonight and that we might see some evidence of the rivalry getting rekindled, because Montreal needs these games so badly. For the Bruins yesterday, talking to them, I can tell you it was all about just business as usual, viewing Montreal as a team they were going to push down in the division and trying not to put too much into it. But I think when they drop the puck and the players like Zdeno Chara, Patrice Bergeron, Brad Marchand, that had Claude for a coach for a long time, see him behind the other bench, I'm sure there's going to be some emotion in that game.
There's no doubt there will be emotion. There's no doubt that Montreal will be ramped up more, considering that they won their last couple of games before heading into the break. And you mentioned if they have any hope of getting back into this thing, or at least having a semblance of a decent season, that they need out of these 6 points against the Bruins. Let's say 5 would be the goal for the Montreal Canadiens. Of course, 6 would, yep. But 5 would be great. But I think it will be physical tonight. I think if first goal, you know, we always talk about leads, and that's something, Joe, that the Bruins have done so well. But I think first goal in this game is gigantic. I do. You can change the tenor. That Montreal crowd will turn quickly. They didn't have a big crowd 2 games ago in Montreal. I mean, it was deathly quiet in there. It was, it was against San Jose, and you're like, this is Montreal? This is Bell Center? No way. And I think the Bruins can get that stranglehold on them with a good start. But it's all going to be about how the Bruins, I think, how they come out and how if they can match. We just talked to Bob against this. If they can just handle what Montreal is going to throw at them, that Plekanec line, my guess, is going against Bergeron's line. And then yep. Can the other B's lines take advantage of an offense that has been stagnant this year?
Yeah, and, that stretch, they've won 2 in a row, but they lost, I think it was the 5 before that, right? And
yes.
Yeah. I think the Canadians have only scored more than one goal once in that 7-game stretch, so they're having extreme difficulty generating offense and scoring goals. And, you know, if the Bruins can get on the board, given their trouble generating offense, Montreal's going to feel a lot of pressure, and it will cause them to buckle under, I think, if they can do that. The question is, are the Bruins going to be up for just shutting them down when they get that 10-minute flurry at the very beginning that you know you're going to get Bruins, Canadians at the Bell Center, where the Habs are just going to come out in a big wave at first? You know, this can't be a game where Tuukka Rask gives up a goal from 60 feet with no screens and no bodies in front of the net, a la that last game in Pittsburgh before the break. Butch Cassidy mentioning yesterday, he just wants that game to be kind of a blip on the radar screen and them to go right back to the way that they played before the 5-day bye. So if they can play that way, be front runners, score early, and put the pressure on Montreal, they could really force them into a bad spot early in that game. But they're going to need Tuukka Rask to play as well as he has against Montreal during his entire career. You know, they need a good Tuukka against the Montreal team that he's had mixed results against. If they get that, then I do like their chances tonight.
What are they going to do with Adam McQuaid?
Good question. The schedule is going to pick up. You know, they have the All-Star break, but aside from that, it's going to be a pretty busy schedule. Certainly, it's going to hit its crescendo when they play 16 games in March. You know, that's going to be an absolute grinder for this team. So they're not going to stay healthy. You know, they're going to have injuries on the back end. They've been remarkably healthy to this point right now in the recent stretch that they've been in. They paid their dues kind of with the injuries earlier in the season, but they're going to hit more as the schedule picks up intensity, and he's going to get back in there. I don't know that they can do anything with him aside from, you know, wait for an opening to be there to get him back into the lineup. You know, maybe they could send him down to Providence on a conditioning thing if they really want to get him into some action if he continues to not play. I don't know that they're going to do that, but he's going to get his chance to get in there. The thing is just that the pairings are playing so well right now, I don't think you really want to mess with that. Grizzlick has been so good with just turning the puck on a dime when he retrieves it in the defensive zone and just turning it up ice. And, you know, all those lines are really nicely, or the pairings are nicely constituted right now with a puck mover and a defensive guy that, you know, they don't want to mess with that, and rightfully so. And I think that's a credit to Bruce Cassidy that, you know, he doesn't give a veteran, a spot automatically back when there are young guys that are playing well or there's a combination that's having success, and he doesn't mess with that. I think as a hockey coach, that's the right thing to do when you're on a run that the Bruins are on right now, and Adam McQuaid's just going to have to kind of wait his turn to get back in there.
Yeah, no, I think Bruce has handled it the right way. I just, you know, I wonder, because McQuaid's been ready to go for a while now, you know, whether his frustration starts to boil a little bit. That
Adam,
you know,
Adam,
he understands, I know, but guys want to play.
Of course he wants to play, but he's respectful of the game. He's not going to go in and cause a ruckus, and he understands what's going on. Doesn't mean he likes it, doesn't mean he doesn't want to play, but he gets it. And Adam McQuaid would be the last guy that I would worry about creating any kind of a internal type of you know, a mess.
Yep.
There, you know, with getting back into the lineup.
I agree 100%. I just don't think McQuaid's that kind of guy. He's a veteran. He's won. You know, he's a team guy that they've they've given a lot to over the years. You know, as much as he's given them, they gave him his big shot. They've given him a nice contract, like, that he earned, but, like, they've treated him very well, and I think he respects that and honors that. And he's just not the kind of guy, I think, that's going to create a big problem. And the other part of that formula there is that, you know, if they wanted to potentially maybe, let's say, try to trade him because he's not playing here and, you know, right now there's not a spot for him and they wanted to move him, I'm not necessarily sure there's a lot of value out there for him right now. And I just don't think Don Sweeney wants to move a lot of defensemen right now, given what happened to them at the end of last year where everybody dropped at once. I think the Bruins, after going through that, understand that they're going to need all the defenseman depth that they can get in case that happens again in the playoffs. And, you know, they don't want to move on from any of those guys. So it's he's just going to have to take one for the team right now. And to his credit, McQuaid's doing that.
Hey, Joe, quickly here. Do, you know, just because Montreal, like the Bruins, practices at their practice rink, so separate from... You know, you don't. As a journalist, you don't get a chance to see the other team. That's just the way in the world now, and in many places around the league. But have you had a chance to talk to Montreal, your Montreal brethren, about the Claude Julien impact and about how he's been and how he's handled things in his first full go around with the Montreal, meaning full season this year with the Montreal Canadiens?
Yeah, I definitely did yesterday, and you know, he's been good, and I think they. The fact that he's got that long-term contract that he got signed to, I think, gives him security that he knows he's not going anywhere despite the struggles. And, you know, that they've, you know, kind of put their faith in him and that he's, you know, it's a work in progress and that, you know, the roster that he inherited isn't necessarily a Stanley Cup winning roster. So there's going to be some patience there as he kind of builds it up. I mean, obviously, you know, there's been some question about the development of Alex Galchenyuk, but I think that goes to even before that Claude got there. And, you know, the struggle for offense is something, you know, at times it happened in Boston, they're close too. And you could, you know, say, are they playing too conservatively there? As we always ask that question when Claude was here in Boston. But I really think he's been very good with the reporters. I think there's been a good rapport there. He was like that most of the time when he was in Boston. And I think he's been, you know, he's in a good spot. Let's put it that way. I think the sense I got yesterday was, and this is what I thought even before I talked to anybody, is that, you know, the heat is on Marc Bergevin right now. He's the guy that fired the last coach to bring in Claude, put this roster together. And, you know, once you fire the coach and you make that move, there's only one move that happens after that when things aren't continuing to go well, and that's the GM being in the crosshairs. And, you know, I think he's the guy that's you know, kind of paying the price for them struggling right now and may ultimately, with a change there, you know, the heat is really on him rather than Claude. And I think, you know, it's going to continue that way until they do something, you know, as far as ownership goes, making a decision there.
All right, Hags, we appreciate the time and enjoy the rest of your time up in Montreal.
You got it, boys. I'm going to go on the park and go to Tim Hortons and get myself a coffee and build an igloo.
See ya. No cutting in line tomorrow at the border. Man. Don't start something. We got enough stuff going on here. We don't need Hags starting an issue.
He's a busy man. He's got a lot of things to do.
Yeah, I know.
Deadlines.
But we're in a tenuous spot right now. We don't need Hags starting an international incident by cutting in line at the border, at customs.
All right, Billy Jaffe is with me. He will continue with us until 11 o'clock. We are going to talk with Judd Surratt coming up off the top of the next hour as well. Sarge will give us some Sports Hub headlines coming up. And we will continue another full hour still to come here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
The Sports Hub Hockey Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ryan Johnston and Billy Jaffe with me in studio for the full 2 hours with the rest of the guys up in Montreal today. Bruins and Canadians for the first time tonight, and it is on Alt 92.9, our sister station. So if you are looking to hear the game, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers obviously on the call over on Alt 92.9. As Billy mentioned earlier, on the TV side, Nesson will have it starting with a 6 o'clock pregame show.
Big night.
So it's a Hockey Night in Canada game, so an extra long pregame for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And
a suit night then. More airtime.
Yeah.
Suit,
yeah.
You got to go with the A suit.
Got a special one picked out?
I don't know. Not yet, but we'll go with one of the A suits. We keep the B and C's for the 30 minutes.
You pick out your own clothes?
Yes. I pick out my own
clothes. Not everybody does.
That's a good. That's fair. No, I pick out my own, and we used to get them bought for us all the time up in Canada. You still get to pick out your own, but with the help of a phenomenal wardrobe person up there. But she allowed you to get your style. Yeah, no, I like clothes. Clothes and cooking outside of hockey are my favorite thing.
You're a clothes guy? Like you're like into the
suits? Yeah,
yeah.
I like suit. Yeah, I don't care. Give me my jeans and t-shirt.
I'm saying you're
right, but
sitting
no.
Here in a
No, I'm not a clothes guy. Like crazy, but no suits. Yeah, I like suits.
Okay,
I do. Yeah,
Judd Surratt knows all about that as well. He's joining us now on the phone from Montreal. Morning, Judd.
Good morning. He's got A and B suits. I've got like Z suits, maybe an X suit in there. So it's pretty low on the pole. And by the way, Beersy and I, after the game tonight, are going to be spending some deep cuts from Soundgarden on Alt 92.9.
Yes. A lot of Red Hot Chili Peppers in there, I'm sure. All right. So you got to be excited for your first chance to get in on the Boston-Montreal rivalry.
Oh, I love it. I can't wait. You could kind of sense it yesterday just heading over at practice because the Bruins stepped on the ice at 4 o'clock, basically went right from the airport to the Bell Center, and then got themselves ready for practice. But, just seeing the French-Canadian media there, as well as everybody from the Montreal Gazette and the National Canadian Press, as well as a lot of people that have come up from Boston for this, whether it's on the street or in the hotel, you can already start to sense the gravity of, in my mind, the premier matchup in the National Hockey League and the premier rivalry in the Canadiens and the Bruins. So it's going to be exciting tonight. It's so funny because part of the storyline from the Gazette writers and some of the Montreal media is, do you think you have a chance to bury the Canadiens, depending on what happens, meeting them three times in 8 days? Here this month, and for the most part, I don't think that the Bruins are necessarily focused on that. But I think in the big picture, for those of us who are not involved in that directly, there's certainly a chance that the Bruins, if they sweep all three games, the Canadiens are done.
Well, Judd, and you know this, you've been around the league long enough, but now just your first time, your first crack at Montreal, Boston. The negative press sells more up in Montreal than anything else. So they're looking for any.
No.
They're leading. By the way,
we're not all that different after all.
Well, exactly. By the way, happy birthday.
They broke it out. I don't know if you happen to read the story, but Pat Hickey, the legendary writer here for the Montreal Canadiens for the Gazette, pointed out that there is a 2% chance, even at this point of the season, that the Canadiens make their way into the playoffs.
Yeah, it's. Negative sells the papers up there, or gets the eyeballs to the internet. By the way, happy birthday!
Thank you.
Know you feel any different now that you're back and you're working as a 49-year-old.
I certainly don't have as much hair
every day, a little less.
So it's not the years, baby. It's the mileage.
It's the mileage. Speaking of mileage in the Boston Bruins, they're going to start putting on some mileage. They're going to start putting on the, we talked about this pretty much every week on this fun show of ours, but now we're here. We've been waiting for it, and we've been seeing how well the Bruins have been playing, but they've had space, they've had time, they've had some practices, et cetera. This is going to be different for the Bruins. Do you feel any trepidation heading into this stretch? You get the All-Star break for 4 days, but otherwise it's going to be pedal to the metal for you guys and games pretty much every other day.
Well, let's see how they stand up to the schedule. I don't think that any other team has as many games as the Bruins do here in the second half, and obviously because they got snowed out of the Florida Panthers game, they have one extra that'll take place on April 8th. And then the other thing that you also have to factor in, I think other than the New York Rangers in the Eastern Conference, the Bruins they've got to make up more road games than just about everybody in the Eastern Conference. So that's a little bit of wear and tear. Their biggest strength here early in the season has been the character and the resilience and the identity that basically got forged in the middle of November when the team was out west playing out in California. So let's see how they come through. It was fascinating to watch that game against the Pittsburgh Penguins. And I know Tuukka Rask came out and said that he wasn't very good and he wasn't very happy with his performance against the Penguins. But you could still see, I think, both sides of it. In some sense, the Bruins down 3-1 at that point on the road, playing in a back-to-back game against a Penguins team that was desperate. They were able to rally back and take a 5-3 lead. I think they've gotten a lot of surprising offense. But at the same time, we saw a few things that we haven't necessarily seen in a while from the Boston Bruins. And a lot of that credit goes to the Penguins in the way that they forechecked and the way that they pressured the Bruins. They had a hard time getting pucks out of their own end. They were turning over the pucks. Puck management was an issue. The slot battle was not necessarily one that they won, and they had issues out in front of the net. Let's see how that plays out here over the next couple of weeks.
Judd Surratt joining us on the phone from Montreal, where the Bruins take on the Canadiens. Again, that game can be heard on Alt 92.9 tonight. We were talking in the first hour, Judd, about how far ahead of the pace it feels like this team is from what most of us expected at the beginning of the season. Why do you think that they have been able to, to push this so quickly? I mean, you know, this we both said, you know, this is a team that's good enough to make the playoffs at the beginning of the year. And now here we are on game 41, and a lot of people are starting to think about, you know, can they challenge Tampa Bay in the Eastern Conference here?
Well, I think, Ryan, let's pull back. I think let's take a lot of perspective here, because in the first 6 weeks of the season, I think that there was a lot of concern. Then obviously the Bruins at that point, that's really the demarcation point where the Bruins season changed. In Los Angeles, right after the Anaheim game, and then all of a sudden they have gone on the run that we're at. So let's sort of keep that in perspective. How we viewed this team changed, basically from the middle of November, from the start of the season, the middle of November, and then from the middle of November to where we are now. I think that said, when you talk about any team in the National Hockey League and the Bruins first and foremost, you have to look at the core and the guys who are munching the big minutes for this team. And those guys have had very good first halves. Brad Marchand's heading to the All-Star game. Patrice Bergeron is, he's been lighting it up of late. He's been spectacular. David Pastrnak has had a very good first half. Zdeno Chara, you can argue, has been the team's most valuable player. Tuukka Rask, after a bumpy start to the season, has solidified his game. Let's take that last game against Pittsburgh out of it. So the core players for the Boston Bruins have been terrific. And then the guys who have filled in, there has been such an influx of young players where I think typically you were wondering what type of production you would get, how consistent was that production going to be. And for the most part, it's been fairly steady. Obviously, there have been a few bumps in the road. Jake DeBrusk's been a scratch. Anders Bjork at the beginning of the season, start of the year. Now he is in Providence. Charlie McAvoy has been magnificent and should be in the conversation for Rookie of the Year. And for the most part, if McAvoy has had a bumpy game, he has followed that up with another good five or six game run of being a productive player. So I think that in that sense, you've gotten a full team effort. And I know that one of the things that Bruce Cassidy and I had talked about the last time we sat down was the commitment level that you're getting up and down the roster. And when you put that group effort together with the talent that you have, both young and the core that you have, I think that you've gotten the results that you've seen in the standings. As Bill Parcells used to say, you are what your record says you are.
Well, and their record says that they're pretty good then. All right.
Right.
You think Charlie McAvoy, Morgan Rielly are the two guys I'm looking at that could replace Victor Hedman for defensemen.
Looking at Mikhail Sergachev? You mean, the game is in Tampa?
Oh, stop.
Factoring that in?
I am factoring it, but factoring that in is stupid if they're going to do that. That's not right. Sergachev is not as good. He's a hell of a defenseman. But, you know,
Whoa. You're talking about merit-based decisions for an All-Star game?
Yeah, I can see Morgan Rielly getting it, even though Charlie has...
Who wouldn't want to see Charlie McAvoy playing in a 3-on-3 tournament?
No, I don't disagree. Morgan Rielly, that's why it should be McAvoy or Rielly. And I don't disagree that Sergachev has the home ice advantage, I guess. Hedman deserved to be there. Pick somebody else who's also deserving to be there, because this isn't a perfect science, but I don't know. I think it's one of those two guys. But if Sergachev gets it, whatever. I think there's some players that are starting to get ticked off, Judd, that, you know, that the way that this format is, because there's some other players that should definitely be there.
It's always hard, and there's always going to be guys who feel like they got spurned or they felt like they should have gone. And in the same sense, what did I see Sidney Crosby say the other day, that if he is selected, I don't feel like I should merit an All-Star nod? So it's difficult
to
say.
Which is true.
And what's the old saying? There are two things you don't want to know. You don't want to know how a hot dog is made, and you don't want to know what goes on at a league office. So I'm not exactly sure what goes into the choice of making that selection to fill Hedman's spot. If it were me, and I'm trying to sell the game and also reward one of the great young players in the National Hockey League, it's got to be Charlie McAvoy.
Well, I can tell you how hot dogs are made because I did it for a few years in national sales at the Vienna Beef Company. All right,
and those are some good hot dogs too.
They are good hot dogs, and they're not the Vienna. People say, is that the Vienna sausage? No, it's not the little ones in a can that could survive nuclear war. It's a real hot dog that would I could tell you how it's made. It's actually not bad, but in the league office. I can tell you that there was some consternation there. And remember, there was a delay in teams being announced by the NHL because I think there were a few players that begged off, that said they weren't going to go. So they had to figure some things out. But I think that Charlie and Morgan Riley have legit chances. Sergachev is 16th overall with 26 points and he plays 15 minutes and 40 seconds. You've got Morgan Riley who plays 22:04. And Charlie McAvoy, who plays more than that, 22 and about a half or so. So I think those two guys are more deserving. But that's just my hot dog sense right there.
Yeah, and not to take anything away from Morgan Riley. Listen, he's had a terrific first half of the season. Montreal is right on the Bruins' tail at this point in the Atlantic Division. He's got 31 points. So he's had a terrific season overall. But if it's me and I'm selling the game, and I'm talking about one of the bright stars and one of the great stories in the National Hockey League, it's got to be McAvoy.
All right, Judd, we'll let you go. Appreciate the time this morning, and enjoy the call tonight.
You got it.
And
thanks,
speaking
boys.
Of hot dogs, don't eat too many in the second intermission up there, okay? Don't eat too many.
Oh, Shen Shou, baby.
That's right. Mustard only. Don't do the ketchup stuff they do up there.
Ketchup?
People put ketchup on hot dogs in certain places.
My wife puts ketchup on hot dogs.
That's grounds for, I wouldn't say divorce, but that's temporary separation.
Yeah. It's I make fun of her all. It's like, what are you, eight? Like, you
know, there are rules at Vienna Beef Company out of Chicago that you cannot put ketchup on a hot dog. If you're under like 8 or 10, you can do it, but that's it. Once you've reached certain, like there's a gastronomical pubescent stage that you're allowed to do certain things that are blasphemous, and
right.
Then after a certain, once you've had some taste bud development, you cannot put ketchup on a hot dog.
Well, no, but in Chicago they put all the other stuff on it.
They do.
You go, sport peppers and
awesome
pickle spears and tomatoes.
Yep. Tomato, and then you get the bright green
celery
relish,
salt.
A little celery salt, some diced and chopped onion. You drag it through the garden, it's called.
Yes.
You drag it through the garden. My buddies at Vienna Beef maybe will send us a box. One day, ooh, we can put together a little post-show buffet over
there. I'm all in.
All right.
Billy Jaffe is with us until 11 o'clock. The guests are all through, so it's
listeners.
Two of us and your calls coming up next at 617-779-0985. It's Johnston and Jaffe here on the Hockey Show. Sports Hub Hockey Show here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. You are welcome to join us, 617-779-0985. 0985, Ryan Johnston, joined by Billy Jaffe. Before we get to your calls, we've talked with the rest of the gang this morning a little bit about Claude Julien,
mm-hmm.
His first game against Boston since he left. Obviously, it will be maybe even bigger story when he comes back here on Wednesday night.
No question.
But you're going to see a lot of him here over the next 8 days, three games against Montreal. Things have not gone particularly well up in Montreal since he took over there.
Mm-mm.
Obviously, things have gone remarkably better for Bruce Cassidy since he took over here. I think the record is 41-18-8 in the year plus that Bruce Cassidy has had the job.
Mm-hmm.
Is that all a matter of personnel? In that, look, I mean, I know Mark Bergevin's on the hot seat up there. He had a half-hour press conference last weekend, and he's taken a lot of heat. Down here, obviously, Don Sweeney has done a hell of a job of putting this team together and, a lot of good young prospects.
Yeah.
So why have they gone in drastically different directions?
Well, it's a lot to do with stylistically what Bruce Cassidy has brought in, but you can have the greatest style in the world. If your players don't perform it, then it doesn't matter. There's no doubt that it was time. There's no doubt that Claude gave everything he had, everything in his coaching soul and I think in his person to the Boston area and the Boston Bruins. But it came down to it where he was able to get him to a certain point, which included a cup, included a Stanley Cup final as well. But then as the game morphed in the last two seasons in particular to a very much more speed-oriented, much more with-the-puck-oriented type of game, the Bruins didn't have enough speed in their personnel and in their style. And they didn't have the puck as much. Mm. They would put it on net like we saw with Montreal did early on in the season, but they wouldn't put it on net from the middle of the ice, and they wouldn't get second and third chances. So, yeah, it was time for a change. Now, personnel. I mean, the Bruins, Bruce Cassidy had similar personnel last year, but he ended up getting a bit more out of them stylistically and got him into the playoffs, and we all know they lost, injuries, etc., but still got him in. Now, this year, it's from pretty significant different personnel for this Bruin team, yeah. with the youth, that a lot of people would say would never flourish under Claude Julien. And I would say some would flourish, and he probably wouldn't have as long as a leash as some of the as Bruce Cassidy has had with some of these young guys. But stylistically, these young players fit much better into what he wants to do, perhaps, than what Claude did. Now, I've talked to people in Montreal, some pretty significant hockey people up there, and they say that Claude has, while he still has old school in him, has changed significantly how, he wants the team to play.
Well, that was my next question is, has the league passed him by? Can he still coach in 2018? Can he adapt to what you need to do to win in today's game?
Talking with people up there on the inside, he has changed some. He has eliminated some of the extra, D to D plays. He's eliminated the guys slashing a not coming across. He tried getting rid of that near the end of his Bruin tenure, too, with regard to how he would break the puck out. He's tried doing more of what Bruce Cassidy is doing and bringing it to the middle, but Canadians aren't built for that with their personnel right now. They've struggled. Marc Bergevin went out and made a big trade, trading the aforementioned Mikhail Sergachev from Montreal to Tampa to get Jonathan Drouin, who thought he would be his number one center. The truth is, Jonathan Drouin is his number one winger. That's what he is. And they don't really have good centermen up there. Galchenyuk, they thought would be a centerman, probably should play center regularly. He's not number one. He's a number two at best. But he hasn't been. It's been a cluster up there. It really has with personnel. So Claude Julien, I don't feel bad for him. In the sense, it's coaching, it's what you get yourself into, but his personnel has not been as good. I don't think he can't coach in the league, but he's going to have to continue to metamorphose himself in his style.
Do you think in Montreal that they're going to blow it up? And by that I mean Pacioretty, Galchenyuk, guys like that have already been talked about, being dealt out of there. And if so, do you let Marc Bergevin do that? Do you let him try to take another chance at rebuilding this thing?
That's the big question right now up there. Marc Bergevin is very tight with Jeff Molson, who the Molson family owns it, and Jeff is the president, the executive that runs the Montreal Canadiens. Pacioretty will get you the most in return. There's no question about it. The issue is if you say, well, I want to score back, well, okay, so you're going to have to find a team that is so deep they're going to want a center. It's so deep at center. What team is so deep at center that they're going to be willing to give you up a good center to get Max Pacioretty back? If they don't find themselves in the playoff mix, I don't think there's any doubt that Thomas Plekanec will be on the market. Jordy Benn, a defenseman, will be on the market. I don't know how many other guys would be on the market, too. I mean, a Jeff Morrow, Nicholas Deslauriers, he could be on the market, too. These are depth guys, though. Plekanec could get you something back. And do you allow him to do it? Do you allow Bergevin to do it? I think you do in the sense of you allow him to make these moves right now, only because if you sit on them and you don't make the playoffs, then you've devalued the asset even more. Do you allow him to full boat blow it up in the offseason? Only Jeff Molson obviously can answer that. I'd say if you have any inkling that you may get rid of him, then no, you don't.
All right, let's go to the phones here. 617-779-0985. Maria in Watertown is up first. Hey, Maria.
Hey, guys. How are you this morning?
Good morning.
Well, you were chatting earlier about storylines for this game, and to me, the big significant storyline is Tuukka. If Tuukka gets the nod tonight, he has to have a spectacular game with the hope that he'll finally quiet the haters once and for all. I know that he let in some soft goals against Pittsburgh, but by the same token, that power play is lethal, mm-hmm. and you cannot give them an opportunity on the power play. So that's what I'm looking for tonight because, you know, enough is enough with the hatred of Tuukka. The other question I have for you, Billy, is do you hear anything about Peter Chiarelli's job security up in Edmonton? Because that has been a total and utter debacle season.
Yeah. It has. Hey, real quick, Maria. Tuukka Rask in his last six starts against the Montreal Canadiens. Ready for these numbers?
Yeah.
Okay. 4-2, .944 save percentage, a 1.83 goals against, and a shutout. Now,
he beat me to it because he played twice against them last year. He gave up one goal total.
Right. Now, he didn't play in that one game where Zane McIntyre played, and that bent a lot of people out of shape. I agree with Maria in that it's a storyline. Is it the storyline? Well, I think the storyline is how this team comes back after the five-day layoff and how do they just handle the ghosts of Montreal, so to speak, and can they play at that same level? That seems kind of obvious, but that's the big question. Part of that is Tuukka. I would be very surprised if Tuukka doesn't get the start tonight. I would be. I'd be very surprised. You know, you go Tuukka. I could see Tuukka, Hudobin, Tuukka then again on Wednesday, Hudobin on Thursday.
And the Islanders,
And then it's the Islanders, and then Tuukka back again on Saturday.
So give him the three Montreal games in there, right?
I would think so.
Yeah.
You've got five games, and is it 7 days?
Well, to that point, Bruce Cassidy has done, I think, a good job as he's kind of shuffled back and forth between the goalies of make sure you play your top guy against the divisional opponent.
Right.
Right? Division games matter more.
They do. Exactly. You know,
than they do, especially the game against Dallas on Monday. I mean, Dallas is a team that's pushing for the playoffs. And, we were talking off air. Like, that seems like a backup kind of a game.
No question.
And then, of course, with the back-to-back, you're going to probably work Hudobin in on that Thursday game.
I got 3-2. I got Tuukka the three Montreal, and I got two against for Hudobin against the other opponents. With regard to Peter Chiarelli, have I heard anything? I've heard just what you've heard, Maria, and that, you know, there's a lot of pain right now going on in Edmonton. I think Peter's job is okay for today. You know, one of the issues they've had in Edmonton is the amount of different leaders they've had up there between GMs and coaches. It's been pretty much the revolving door syndrome up there. His issue is, and Bruins fans saw it here, is, you know, he's given Leon Draisaitl the mega deal along with Connor McDavid. There's no issue with the Connor McDavid deal. The issue is going to be the Leon Draisaitl deal. And if that's going to end up being a bust, then yeah, Shirelli's going to be on the hook for it. He has 35 points in 41 games, but it's been a nondescript 35 points at times for Leon Draisaitl. So, Maria, I think his job security right now, or his job is okay for now. How secure when it's all said and done? Let's say they have got another gong show year next year, then I think he would be in a big world of hurt, if I could get it out correctly.
By the way, Connor McDavid, 21st birthday today in Las Vegas for their last game before the before their bye week.
So maybe, yeah.
Do we get a team meeting after the game tonight? We've seen that work other places this year.
Well, we have. The problem is you usually need to do that, yeah. But then they go on the break. So how much will that team meeting help? I wonder if Connor will stay in Vegas. Because if a birthday happens in Vegas, right, if it happens in Vegas, it stays in Vegas.
Right.
So, I don't know. That team, they were down 2-0 to Arizona last night, very early on in the game, and then they came back. So that's a big win for them. If only because it says, all right, guys, you know, Arizona, not good, et cetera. But still, we were down. We turned it around. We came back.
All right, Sarge gives us Sports Hub headlines here. We got another half hour to go with Billy Jaffe, 617-779-0985 here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. 98.5, the Sports Hub and the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Let's glance it up at NHL Network. Torts' press conference. It's got like a bucket of Tim Hortons next to it.
Sponsored by.
It's like a bathtub of coffee.
That's the jumbo Tim Hortons. Tim Hortons is really come in certain markets, and Columbus is one of them.
I'm not a coffee guy. My wife, we get Tim Hortons shipped to the house.
Really?
My wife makes Tim Hortons every day.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it is. If you've never tried their stuff, it's good stuff.
I've had it a lot.
Good sandwiches. Good, you know, the Timbits and all that stuff.
I'm a stronger coffee guy. I like stronger.
Like
dark roast.
Okay.
Stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm learning a lot about you.
You are
really into suits.
I like
your coffee
suits,
strong.
Coffee strong. I like my food good. Not fancy, but good. I'm a big restaurant guy on the road. You know, I mark my my trips based on not the games but by the restaurants. I like strong coffee.
Hey, don't forget Pucks and Paddles. If you missed the announcement of this week, 98.5 The Sports Hub, Toucher and Rich, Patrice Bergeron teaming up for Pucks and Paddles. It is replacing the Cuts for a Cause, we've been there, done that many times over now, and they were looking for a new way to kind of bring interest into this, and they found a great one. So they're going to have a ping pong tournament on Thursday, February 15th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Royale Boston. And Patrice Bergeron and the Bruins will be there, and they will be raising money to benefit the Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center. And you will have an opportunity to bid to be the partner of the Bruin of your choice.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got VIP tickets are already on sale.
And a few...
And general admission tickets are already on sale as well.
Sports Hub people, too, are going to be there.
Yes,
there
going to be some... Some folks from the Sports Hub will be involved as well. So you can go online to 985thesportshub.com and check out the details on that. And there's a link to purchase tickets as well. So please do that and get in on that. And
it's going to be a great event.
The auction will be coming soon bidding on a chance to participate.
My guess is you're going to have... As great as Cuts for a Cause was, I think you're going to have even more ability to interact with the guys because Cuts for a Cause, guys were sitting down and then just letting you shave their head.
Right.
Okay, which was awesome. It was fun. It was everything. But, you know, you're sitting there. You're the guy. You're like, okay, is this kid know what he's doing with this shears my head type of thing? Now you're going to be playing ping pong with him. And so I think you're going to have actual interaction with him. Like real, I'm talking, you know, hey, we're teammates. Let's figure this thing out. Let's get after it. It'll be good. It'll be really good like that. So, and I think you'll see some competitiveness, maybe some beer pong. You never know. That might be the post party.
the bidding is open. We care to guess who the highest bids are so far?
Well, I'll guess. Number one, Charlie McAvoy.
Nope.
Marchand.
No.
Patrice.
No.
Okay. Oh, Pasta.
Nope.
No.
No.
Huh.
David Backes.
Excellent.
My bid right now is for David Backes.
You want to talk about a loquacious speaker and a personable
Seems
guy?
Seems like a good guy to, you
He's
know.
He's a great
you'd have
guy.
A, you'd have a good guy, good time
great
playing
guy.
Ping pong with David.
What's great about these events is that everybody, you know, you see the little kid that has their favorite player. You know what I mean? And it's not just one guy. I mean, I remember growing up, even though I wasn't a resident of Boston at the time, my favorite player was a marketable player, but he wasn't the big name guy of the Bruins at the time. It was Peter McNabb for me.
Mm.
Loved him. Loved Peter. You know, so that would be my guy. You know, I mean, and there were other stars on the team,
sure.
But as a youngster, I would say, hey, Dad, can I get Peter McNabb? You know, so everybody's got their guy. That's the fun part.
Yeah. I was excited when they got David Backes because he's one of those guys that, you know, we were talking earlier about the leadership on this team.
Uh-huh.
You know, you felt like at the time that they did that, and I know that, you know, people were concerned about how much he got paid.
Sure.
And, you know, he hasn't necessarily lived up to that contract in the early going of it, much more so this year. When he's been healthy, he's been tremendous.
Yeah.
But that was part of that contract was it felt like at the time there was a little bit of a void leadership-wise on this team. The guys,
vocally, especially.
Yes, that, you know, because as we were talking about it with, I think it was Beers, he said earlier, you know, there's leaders on this team in Chara and Bergeron, but they're quiet leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, from his reputation in his time in St. Louis, you looked at this guy, this is a kind of guy who's going to be great to put in the room, especially with young guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and really not only lead by example, but be able to kick a little ass as well in there. And it feels like he's been a big part of the resurgence of this team.
No question. They lost a lot of vocal leadership over the years in Sean Thornton, Mark Recchi, Johnny Boychuk. You're talking guys that were really demonstrative in the locker room. And not that Char and Bergeron aren't these amazing presence, because they are. They have this great presence about them, but not as vocal. And, you know, now you've added, you know, Kevin Miller's, even though he's a man of few words at times, he's vocal in the room, the guys tell me, and Backus is very much so, and he's very comfortable being the spokesman, too. And that every team needs that. You need to have your leaders, but leadership has different ways, sure, and different roles. And so David is very happy, very comfortable being that guy, and he has a smile on his face an awful lot. Great story this year. 17 points in 23 games that he's been able to play, so almost a point a game. That's pretty darn good, you know.
I mean, major surgery mixed in there.
Yeah.
I mean, it really has been remarkable to see him come back from that as well as he has.
No question. And I've seen him. I think he has a real... I think he has a real sparkle in his eye with these young guys around, too. I think he's taken a real liking to a bunch of these guys. And I think he's kind of got the father figure type thing pretty good. And he's very comfortable with that. And some guys aren't.
Yeah. Let's go to Vinny. You're up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. What's up, Vinny?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Vinny.
I just want to say, great show. I always love calling in and talking hockey with you guys.
Thanks.
I called a couple of weeks back and talked about how, you know, people needed to be patient with the young guys, and I'm glad that, you know, the team's doing really well right now. But my question is with this Montreal three matchups in, you know, the 8-day span, what do you guys think for the goaltending situation? I kind of, you know, everybody always says Tuukka doesn't play too well against Montreal. He's got two big Saturday night games coming up against them at, you know, Montreal. Who would you start in net? Why? And what's the goaltending situation going forward?
I appreciate it.
Yeah, we touched on this, Vinny, just a little while ago, but it's worth going over again. This is my guess. This is my plan if I was penciling it or penning it out, the lineup card. Tuukka tonight, Hudobin on Monday, 1 o'clock game against the Dallas Stars on MLK Day. And by the way, we're going to have Willie O'Ree on the show
awesome.
That day. And also, the Bruins are honoring him on Wednesday at TD Garden.
Cool.
So, Tuukka, this is what I would do. Tuukka, Anton against Dallas. Tuukka again Wednesday night at home against Montreal. Wednesday night. Thursday, Anton in Long Island or Brooklyn. And then Saturday, back to Tuukka in Montreal. That's what I would do. 3-2. Split them up. And then you got two games left after that.
Before the All-Star break.
Before the All-Star break. And it wouldn't surprise me. Let's see how the results are. But I could maybe see Tuukka. I could see two games of Tuukka before the All-Star break.
617-779-0985. We'll take you right up until 11 o'clock coming up next, and we'll touch on a couple of things going on around the league as well with Jaffe here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Bruins and Montreal tonight. Again, we'll be on Alt-92.9. Pregame at 6:30, face-off around 7:15-ish for Hockey Night in Canada.
Yep, big hockey
Billy night. Billy Jaffe and the Nesson crew get started at 6 o'clock tonight.
That's right, 6 o'clock. We have Bruins Breakaway at 6 to 6:30, where we go over everybody on the team, everybody that's in the lineup for the, you know, projected lineup for the night, and then we do the Bruins face-off live at 6:30 to 7, and then we're going to have a 10-minute fill. That's TV talk. Phil.
But we got 15 minutes to go until face-off. Guys, talk
Phil.
About something,
yes,
will you?
Yes.
Let's get to a few things going on around the league.
That's right.
Victor Hedman.
3 to 6 weeks out with a knee injury. They're calling it lower body. All you had to do is see his left knee buckle a bit. In what seemed like an innocuous type of play, it happens probably 50 times a game, hit along the wall. And, you know, they're lucky. He's lucky. The team's lucky that it isn't longer. You have the All-Star break. Yes, he'll miss the All-Star game, which is a shame for him because he's, you know, from Tampa and he's well-deserved. But, you know, if you're going to get hurt, you're going to get hurt right now. And it sounds like it's not structural. It sounds to me like a sprain. That's what it ends up being. So, yeah, I'm a huge fan of Victor Hedman, first of all, as a person, second of all, as a player. And I hope we have a speedy recovery. But 3 to 6 weeks, it's
as you said, it's tolerable. It could have been a lot worse. But, yes. You know, what kind of impact do you expect that to have on them?
Well, I think it'll have some impact. You know, Sergachev, the young player that we talked about early in the show, Mikhail Sergachev will have a bigger role. Maybe he'll see his minutes bump to 16 to 18 minutes a night. But, you know, Steve Yzerman was already looking at bringing in another defenseman there to help solidify the group back there. Dan Girardi, who's been hurt for the last couple of games, was brought in as a free agent signing in the offseason after he got bought out by New York Rangers. He's been nice, but, you know, you have Braden Coburn, who's been nice, but, you know, there's some deficiency at the game sometimes. And then they have another guy by the name of Andre Schuster. So they wanted to probably try and elevate that position. Maybe what's going to happen right now, RJ, is that one of those three guys establishes himself as a higher role player. Nobody will replace Hedman. We know that. But you're not going to go out and get a top two defenseman at the trade deadline. You're not going to. But Yzerman was going to look. He'll have a better idea, I think, in the next 3 weeks, which one of those guys can perhaps step up. And it could make his team that much better. It's the old give the other guy the chance, see who can step up. I've always liked their... In the playoffs, to me, you know, believe it or not, even though Braden Coburn gets a lot of heat, he's stepped up. He's played all right in the playoffs a couple of times. And I'm curious to see Dan Girardi come playoff time. You know, can he play a sufficient role for this team?
Evander Kane in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently having some issues, not getting along necessarily. They're talking about shopping him again.
He's gone.
Yeah,
he's gone. He's a free agent after this year. He's an incredibly marketable asset, 36 points, 16 goals in 44 games. He got into a shouting match with Justin Falk earlier this week, who supposedly yelled out, you know, you're selfish. I think he is a bit selfish in the way that he is. That's just part of him being him. But on the other hand, everybody I've talked to said that he's been a very good overall teammate this year. And, you know, he's been their most consistent player, even though Eichel leads him in points with 41 and 44 games. Kane will hold some allure for teams that say we want to get, you know, that top six forward come playoff time. Now, the issue is, I always have to preface it with this, and I know it gets tiring, is what are you giving up to get him? And, you know, do you try and sign him? I don't know. I'm not sure. You got to have strong leadership on your team if you're bringing him in, just because he's a bit of an individual. But, okay, you know, we make a bigger deal of that in the media, perhaps, than the guys in the locker room do. If you have good leadership, you can keep him in check.
There was a trade made this week for Anthony Duclair, sent to Chicago. Mm-hmm. Kind of guy who kind of burst on the scene his rookie year, 20 goals, and really hasn't done a whole lot since. Kind of badmouthed the situation in Arizona on his way out, said he had asked for a trade. Didn't feel like it was a good place for him. He had been healthy, scratched a bunch.
He never really got into the good graces of Rick Tocchet, the head coach there. He never got really into the good graces of Dave Tippett, the head coach before Rick Tocchet. He had 5 goals in 16-17. He had 9 goals this year in 33 games. Not bad. There's no denying that Anthony Duclair has got offensive skill. There's no denying that he's got great speed. But will he play inside the dots much? Not really. Will he be a defensive liability? Maybe. When he was with Arizona in his first full year after he played for the Rangers in 14-15, in 15-16 he was in Arizona, got traded in the offseason. He had 20 goals and 24 assists. Very, very nice. When it's all said and done, though, his defensive deficiencies and his lack of interior play frustrated Dave Tippett, and we're seeing it with Rick Tocchet, too. My question is, I think he will do great early on with the Blackhawks. Can he sustain it? And if Joel Quenneville, who, by the way, one of his best friends is Dave Tippett, is he's probably as hard, if not harder, on some of his guys. Joel Quenneville isn't happy, Anthony Duclair, you know, won't see the ice much. But they want to get younger, and they extricated themselves of $2.8 per year on Richard Panik's contract in Chicago.
Joel Quenneville is mom. If mom's not happy, nobody's happy.
That's right.
Joel Quenneville's not happy.
Do not nobody's upset gonna be happy. The mustache, the stash, the Q stash.
All right, good to have you here this week. You're back with us again next Saturday too, right? Going to be.
I am. You're right. I just realized that, and I have to take a look and see. There may be a. Little bit of a conflict,
all right.
But I'll be here for 1 hour for sure.
We'll work something out.
You got it, buddy.
Billy Jaffe joining us. Thanks to Judd Surratt, Bob Beers, Joe Haggerty from joining us up in Montreal as well. I see Mr. Murray coming into the studio. Are you soloing, or is Gasper? Gasper's here too on a game day? He's here? Lots of Patriots talk coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports. We'll talk to you next week.